CBW 1590 AM Denmark, W250 CB Green Bay, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. Tornadoes tearing through the South, leaving at least 25 people dead in Mississippi. Vicksburg Mayor George Flagg says he's spoken with the mayor of nearby Rolling Forks, an area said to be leveled.
He did not have a good assessment at the time, and we stand ready.
Mississippi declaring a state of emergency, President Biden offering federal assistance. At least two people dead, but a survivor found in the rubble overnight in West Reading, Pennsylvania, after an explosion at the Palmer Chocolate Factory. West Reading Borough Mayor Samantha Kay.
There are five still missing, and we did find one person alive last night in the wee hours of the morning.
Former President Trump holding his first rally of his 2024 presidential campaign in Waco, Texas, on the 30th anniversary of the Branch Davidian face-off with the government that left dozens dead. No connection, says this Trump supporter.
More of a central part of Texas, easier for people to get to, people from all over. So I think it's just a central location.
This is ABC News. The trial against Oscar-winning actress Gwyneth Paltrow continued Friday afternoon, with the star taking the stand in her own defense as the plaintiffs tried to prove their client was not at fault. ABC's Irene Shaw has more.
The plaintiff's lawyers pressed Paltrow, who was skiing with her two kids, two stepkids, and their ski coaches, that she was distracted. Sanderson's lawyers claim that after the accident, he has completely changed. The judge had to step in multiple times, once to correct the plaintiff's lawyers after he claimed that Paltrow lied under oath.
The trial is set to resume in Park City on Monday, with Paltrow's kids and husband expected to testify. A federal judge rejecting former President Trump's attempt to block the testimony of several of his top aides, including Mark Meadows, in the special counsel's investigation into his actions leading up to January 6th. Trump's attorneys had challenged the subpoenas by asserting executive privilege. They are now expected to appeal the judge's order. I'm Dave Packer, ABC News.
Dear Hero, whoever you are, you save lives. I live with sickle cell and the pain and the issues that come along with sickle cell every day. I've had lots and lots of blood transfusions over my lifetime, probably in the hundreds. Blood helps me to be able to live.
My final tour was in Afghanistan in 2008. I was hit June 3rd. The next thing I remember, I woke up in Germany. The doctor came in and said, "We're going to amputate your leg." I had to get a lot of blood transfusion to stay alive.
Because of you, I'm allowed to see my son grow up.
Because of you, I got a second chance at life.
Giving equals living. Give blood. Replenish the supply. Make an appointment to give today by visiting hhs.gov/giveblood. This message is brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
The Cripes Cast with me, Charlie Behrens, and I'll tell you what, it's more fun than tipping cows. And actually, you shouldn't really tip the cows, okay? They don't tip as easy as they think, and they might kick you in the... Never mind.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Spring is almost here, and that means the environment will get a few months off from damaging road salt. There's a bill in the Wisconsin legislature to certify people who apply road salt and encourage them to do it responsibly. Mike Moen reports.
The DNR would be tasked with establishing training for individual commercial applicators who would learn methods for spreading snow and ice melting products that protect water quality. Representative Elijah Benke is a lead sponsor on the assembly side and noted the impact of salt ending up in waterways is becoming hard to ignore.
Harmful effects have been noticed in our native aquatic organisms and other freshwater ecosystems.
To ease any concerns from the business community, the bill has language surrounding liability protections to shield applicators from lawsuits stemming from a slip and fall incident. Others who testified noted the plan can reduce salt from being spread around while still protecting public safety. The measure has bipartisan support as well as backing from environmental advocates. University of Wisconsin professor Hillary Dugan testified in support of the bill. Speaking on her own behalf, she noted efforts to curb salt use go beyond protecting habitat and waterways.
And this hurts recreational activities, it hurts property values. Thinking about if your private groundwater well gets salty, your property values reduced, you're left without drinkable water.
Dugan says state and local snowplow operators have made strides in being more efficient with their application of road salt or switching to less harmful products. She says incentivizing private contractors can accelerate progress. Mike Moen, Wisconsin News Connection. Find our rate trust indicators to support transparency and accuracy at publicnewsservice.org.
And this is Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell.
Kids, they're just different than us. They have no inhibitions, consider silverware optional, and can find fun anywhere. And when kids get really sick, they're different than us too. Until now, children diagnosed with blood cancer have been treated like many adults. Not anymore. The Leukemia and Lymphoma Society proudly introduces the Dare to Dream Project, transforming treatment and care through advocacy, education, and the largest global clinical trial for kids with blood cancer. For the first time, a specific treatment can be matched to a specific type of cancer in a specific child. It'll be the biggest medical advancement for little patients in history. Dare to dream with us. Support the Dare to Dream Project and all the work that the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society does at lls.org.
Rumpus time is over.
There's a new sheriff in town.
Luke's crazy.
Did you hear that, Brian?
Luke, we're gonna have company!
Brian! Bad guys of the galaxy, beware! The defender of the universe is here!
In order to form a more perfect union.
Luke! Brian!
Luke Bryan's!
One margarita, two margarita, three margarita shot.
Stop that! You're not going into a song while I'm here.
And now for something completely different.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Talking Heads.
Hello and welcome to Dueling Tangents. I'm Luke Mathers.
Hey, it seems to be working all right. It looks like the screen is on. It looks like you seem to be on air. It's, yeah, the show's working. What's going on? You tricked me into being on air right now. You told me that there was, like, a tech problem and that I needed to fix it. Like, we were having a thing and you needed to...
We weren't supposed to tell anybody. That was the whole ruse we had to do. But the big guy, BK, Brian Kelly, himself, here on a Thursday afternoon. How are we doing today, Brian?
I'm great. I guess I'm going to do a show now.
Yeah, yeah, you're looking clean and put together and ready to be on the airwaves here. If you want to share a tangent with Brian and I, 844-967-2789. And we are going to cover, to lead off the hour, Medicaid expansion. What's it going to take for Wisconsin Republicans to finally expand Badger Care in Wisconsin? 844-967-2789. We want to know what you out there in the listening audience believe it's going to take. Because today is the 13th anniversary of the Affordable Care Act being signed into law. 13 years ago, President Barack Obama signing that historic legislation, providing health care to millions and millions of Americans at an affordable cost. And so on this 13th anniversary, the Affordable Care Act, Obamacare, as a lot of Republicans framed it throughout the battle that ensued with its proposal and how it made its way through Congress.
How'd that branding work out for them? Like they were
it's more popular than ever.
And it's now really popular.
Very popular. When people find out what's in the Affordable Care Act or Obamacare, they like it. And
oh, man, that's amazing.
Yeah, they like it to the tune, Brian, that in North Carolina, the Republican-led legislature with a Democratic governor, very similar to our situation here in Wisconsin, the Republican-led legislature in North Carolina on the 13th anniversary of the Affordable Care Act being signed into law, finally expanding Medicaid in the state of North Carolina.
That in spite of all the death panels?
All those...
There was a lot of death panels.
The
that
death panels that
right
never...
Now.
That never came to be.
No, they're really death panels, aren't there, right?
Well, the death panels, I would say, would be the states that have yet to expand Medicaid and provide the coverage that would be life-changing for thousands of Wisconsinites we just haven't had over 13 years.
The old self-fulfilling prophecy, eh?
If you want to look at it that way, Brian, you could call it that. But here in Wisconsin, yet to expand Badger Care. Very similar circumstances when it comes to the politics of the states, Wisconsin and North Carolina. But now that Republicans in North Carolina have acted and expand this, it's expected to be signed by Democratic Governor Roy Cooper in North Carolina, leaving only 10 states who have yet to expand Badger Care. We are in the final 20% of expanded Medicaid coverage in the United States, Bri. Did you think our purple state of Wisconsin would be here?
Yeah, because if there's enough spite in the world, we will hold on to it. I promise you that. Whether it's and that's one thing that I've noticed about Wisconsinites. If you guys like have decided, a couple examples here. Back, you know, when Brett Favre took over as quarterback, one of Amy's relatives decided that, you know what, screw the Packers. Lifelong Packers fan. Family's Packers fan. The Packers, like, you know, you the caricature Packers fan. Because they didn't give that Polish boy a chance, speaking of the magic man Don Majkowski, that one household in the family converted to purple and became Minnesota Vikings fans.
I'd never look back. Well, they got Brett Favre. They got Brett Favre eventually.
Generations beyond that are now Vikings fans because of it, because of spite.
And for a slight little sliver there, there was, I bet, some very questionable thoughts around whether or not they had to cheer for Brett Favre when he was in the purple and gold then.
It was really... You know what? At the time, I was so amazed by the situation that I'm like my grandparents, both my grandfathers, didn't talk to their brothers. Like, they just stopped talking to their brothers. And so there's the whole other side of the family that I never knew. Mm-hmm. So for me, growing up, like, how do you even get to this point? But then, like, for me to, like, oh, yeah, people do this because of teams. This is amazing.
The laundry. Yeah. The laundry. Folks, you're listening to Dueling Tangents across Civic Media.
Don't ever underestimate the amount of spite that the Wisconsinites can muster.
Well, it will be interesting to see if now that there are only 10 states left in the country to expand Medicaid throughout the Affordable Care Act provisions, will Wisconsin be the 41st state to do it? Or are we going to be somewhere closer to the 50th state? We'd love to hear your thoughts on it. 844-967-2789. That's 844-96-PARTY. But Brian, it is pretty telling that on the anniversary, 13th anniversary of the Affordable Care Act being signed, this is what North Carolina is doing, finally expanding Medicaid in their state.
Look, I gotta tell you, I think I've learned a little bit of something. I was explaining because we had some outside consultants. While I was gone, I've been doing stuff.
Very busy.
Learning
man.
A whole bunch of things and having a lot of consultants come in and help us set up our new systems and things like that. And these guys are asking us about Wisconsin politics, and I'm trying to explain, you know, Reader's Digest quick version of, you know, okay, this is what's going on here. This is why Crazy Town happens over here. And actually, it looks crazy, but it actually is really relatively, you know, reasonable here and there. But I was trying to explain how this all works. And I was like, you ever see the movie Minions?
Okay. And I'm curious to know how this analogy is going to come full circle.
At the beginning of Minions, right? At the beginning of Minions... Mm-hmm. They're trying to see the origin of the Minions, and they basically followed whoever was the big dog in power. So, like, eventually they started following around a Tyrannosaurus Rex until the Tyrannosaurus Rex got killed, and then they found the most powerful rat, and they followed the rat around. And that's why they end up with Gru, Gru being the baddest of the baddest villains, and they were like, yay, I'll do whatever. This is my big boss now. And even if they hated their big boss, that was the big boss, so we're doing the big boss thing. That's Republicans to a T. No matter what, you will get, seriously, if you get Tucker Carlson or like Donald Trump to go and say, we need to expand Medicaid now, it will be done within the week.
Yeah.
Without a thought, without even like a, you were literally just railing against it like yesterday. Not even like the eyes will go, zoop, and then they'll come back up and go, let's go, whatever they just said.
Mm-hmm.
That's a pretty good analogy. I like that. That's a good one, Bri.
And ends the movie. It's way too simple, but that's really it. That's really it.
Well, it'll be interesting to see what that big boss moment will be. And we've got a lot to pay attention between now and April 4th. Less than 2 weeks away, we've got a spring election coming to the states. We are in this cycle right now. Civic Media will be bringing you live coverage that night, Tuesday, April 4th, to bring in those results. Because I have a feeling the results of that are going to be a nexus point, Brian, for lack of a better term, of politics in Wisconsin. Republican.
If we grab the Supreme Court, if Janet wins, boy, is there a different landscape to be had.
Well, I think Republican lawmakers right now are kind of sitting around bated breath, and they're used to sitting around. Again, they closed up shop the first week of March last year and didn't do any legislating from early March all the way through the elections and the end of the calendar year. And so they're used to sitting on their hands and trying not to do anything too crazy right now during the Evers administration, but they're waiting to see what outcome the state has on Tuesday, April 4th, to figure out their next steps. And it will be very interesting to see of if Republicans have to moderate themselves a little bit more because they don't have an ally with a 4-3 conservative majority on the state's highest court. If, hey, all of a sudden they're open to an idea of maybe we should be like Republicans in North Carolina and maybe we should expand Medicaid, aka Badger Care, here in Wisconsin. Maybe we should do that. Is that going to be what it takes? Love to hear your thoughts. 844-967-2789. Because, Brian, I have a feeling, I think Robin Voss, Assembly Speaker Robin Voss, and Senate Majority Leader Devin LeMahieu, I think they're pretty dug in. I don't know if the results on April 4th are going to convince them to do anything
different.
They've
completely painted themselves into a corner, essentially, and are waiting for pretty much orders from above. And who are the orders from above? We don't know.
Voters.
We don't know.
Voters should be the orders from above.
No,
voters should be.
Dan Kelly says that the voters do not really matter or count.
He only says that when he's getting the checks written to him to say that behind the scenes by the state Republican Party when he was briefing them on how to try to circumvent the voters in 2020, aka the fraudulent electors. That's just it was a job, Brian. We all have jobs. We don't have to love our jobs, but it was a job that Dan Kelly had. Was a client of his.
Yeah, it makes sense, and that's why I'll be voting for Dan Kelly. Now, thank you for making that clearer to me. And honestly, we don't need to expand Badger Care at all, mostly because that's what I just heard from Dan Kelly and friends, and that's pretty much all I need to know.
Folks, you're listening to Dueling Tangents. I'm Luke Mathers. He is Brian Kelly. You're listening to us across Civic Media. If you want to join in the conversation, share a tangent with us on this Thursday afternoon, 844-96-PARTY, 844-967, now I can't even spell.
844-967-2789. That's 844-96-PARTY.
See, I was just trying to see if you remembered it. It's been a little while since you've been on the air. So we were just seeing if you remember the phone number. It's a trick.
I'm on a bike, dude. I'm on a bike. Hey, dude. I'm on a bike.
You can join us here on Dueling Tangents all hour long. We will be joined as well by State Representative Clinton Anderson coming up at 2:30, talking open records here in Wisconsin and a provision to update them a little bit from the 1960s. So excited to have that conversation with Representative Anderson.
Dumb.
Yeah, it's a pretty strange provision that needs to be
updated. He's great. He's great. The law is dumb.
Yes, the law. The law is dumb. Folks, you're listening to Dueling Tangents. We will be right back.
Dear hero, whoever you are, you save lives. I live with sickle cell and the pain and the issues that come along with sickle cell every day. I've had lots and lots of blood transfusions over my lifetime, probably in the hundreds. Blood helps me to be able to live.
My final tour was in Afghanistan in 2008. I was hit June 3rd. The next thing I remember, I woke up in Germany. The doctor came in and said, we're going to amputate your leg. I had to get a lot of blood transfusion to stay alive.
Because of you, I'm allowed to see my son grow up.
Because of you, I got a second chance at life.
Giving equals living. Give blood. Replenish the supply. Make an appointment to give today by visiting hhs.gov/giveblood. This message is brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
This is the story of a very special woman. Just a few knew about her superpowers. In a matter of seconds, she turned herself into a great mathematician. She masqueraded as a regular person at work, but as a superhero at home. Everyone knows her as Gabriella. I still call her Mom.
Your hero needs you now, and AARP is here to help. Find the care guides you need to help, complete with tips and resources, at aarp.org/caregiving. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast. Lows level off around 21 tonight under partly cloudy skies. Westerly winds 8 to 15 miles an hour. Partly cloudy tomorrow. Daytime highs approaching 39. Overcast skies tomorrow night. Lows around 27. Upper 30s Monday. Low 40s Tuesday. Another look at the short range. Lows level off around 21 tonight. A high of 39 tomorrow. We should dip down to around 27 tomorrow night. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Ray Miller. Right now, it's 36.
This is Civic Media for the Fox Valley.
.com.
Four, 9, 6, 7, 2, 7, 8, 9. It's too many letters and too many numbers, and I don't know percenta.
Man, I miss you so much. Folks, welcome back to Dueling Tangents. I'm Luke Mathers. He is Brian Kelly. You can share a tangent with us this hour, 844-967-2789. And it is very just fascinating to see Republicans in a state compromise and moderate. And it took a really long time for North Carolina.
It's not like they North came Carolinian. Around to it. I guarantee you they were like, we probably should do this.
Yeah, they drug their feet. They were the 40th state to do it. But in North Carolina, Republicans in the legislature passing the expansion of Medicaid in their state and leaving Wisconsin on. We are an island. And it's important to point out, here in the Midwest, we are an island. We are one of very few states.
We're that, kind of a large peninsula.
No, I don't think so.
No, I don't that's know Michigan.
It, yeah.
No, that's Michigan.
That's Michigan. But reading, like, North Carolina, this is reading from a piece over at the AP, written up by Gary Robertson. And the headline is, North Carolina, NC, approves Medicaid expansion, reversing long opposition. And from the piece, North Carolina is one of several Republican-led states that have begun considering expanding Medicaid after years of steadfast opposition. Voters in South Dakota approved expansion in a referendum in November, and in Alabama, advocates are urging lawmakers to take advantage of federal incentives to expand Medicaid in order to provide health insurance to more working people. Alabama and South Dakota, Brian. Like,
those liberal commies really shouldn't be doing that, but all right.
Exactly. Those are not liberal bastions. They are red states. Wisconsin is a purple state. North Carolina is a purple state. There is no reason that we are not expanding Badger Care here in Wisconsin. It is.
You can't let them have the win. You can't let anybody win.
It is so frustrating that in the United States, the system of federalism that we have, where states and the federal government work together to be able to provide services to our citizens, Wisconsinites, Americans as a whole, and that there is just staunch opposition from a very small select group of people here in Wisconsin that are preventing thousands of us. Thousands of Wisconsinites from being able to have the coverage that if they... You want to talk about the worker shortage that we have in Wisconsin? The looming crisis that is 130,000 workers shy by the end of this decade? In 2030, we're going to be looking around, and we probably still won't have expanded Badger Care to that point. And Robin Voss is going to be like, well, we really should have passed a flat tax, and the flat tax would have solved all these problems. When really, the same exact worker could be here and eligible for Medicaid or Badger Care, but aren't, because the state has refused for 13 years to expand the program where they could go across the border to Illinois or Minnesota or Michigan and actually have that coverage for the same exact job. It is mind-numbingly frustrating, Brian.
Luke, I know, and that was a very, very well, that's a very cogent argument for expanding, Badger Care and things. But let me ask you, did Democrats support that, what you just proposed, what you just talked about?
Well, it was a Republican governor's proposal. No, it was like, originally Romney Care, and it covered a lot of people in Massachusetts. No,
currently, right now, would the Democrats say, yes, I want that to happen?
Yes, it would not.
And there you go. Libs. Done. That's it. You got to remember, we had a caller. Let's say his name rhymed with Gary. And he called in and we asked him, hey, dude, would you ever, let's say, leave your, you know, would you go to church with Donald Trump? And he's like, no, that guy it's not the thing. And I go, okay. Would you, let's say, start a business with Donald Trump, like a startup business? Would you go into partnership with Donald Trump? No, I don't trust that guy at all. Okay, would you, let's say, leave your wife or daughter alone in a room with Donald Trump at all? Oh, God, no, that is not even a chance. Okay, would you vote for him? Yeah, absolutely. Why? Because he's not a Democrat.
Unfortunately, that is the argument that a lot of people make when it comes to politics. It boils down to simply that. And if that is true, if that is the situation that we are stuck in here in Wisconsin, then I fear we may be the final 50th state to expand this program, that the federal government isn't just saying, hey, expand it and you get all these cool things. They're also incentivizing it with a dollar amount. There's like $1 billion that the state of Wisconsin mm-hmm. could take advantage of yeah. from expanding oh, yeah. this program. And Republicans are still like, no, we're good.
You got to figure out some way to spite someone else that the Republicans can spite. You gotta move the spite around and like give them a focus so that eventually they can go and convert their entire house into Vikings purple and completely root for an opposite team just to spite the original thing so that that's how you have to manipulate the situation.
Here's a better idea. Self-ownership. Let's just move away from a politics of spite and a politics of solving problems and delivering. That would be great. I really wish we could move to that.
A little bit more.
Darn. Folks, you are listening to Dueling Tangents across Civic Media. If you want to share a tangent with us, join the conversation, 844-967-2789. We are going to be joined by State Representative Clinton Anderson coming up at 2:30. So you're going to want to stay tuned for this conversation surrounding open records in Wisconsin and a proposal Representative Anderson has signed on to update about a 60-year-old law that keeps state lawmakers from being accountable to open records. They don't have to keep open records like all other facets of government do. And we're going to have a conversation surrounding that next with State Rep. Clinton Anderson. Stay tuned. Dueling Tangents. 844-967-2789. Brian's here!
WAUK 540.
A fresh approach to finding common ground in the Fox Valley. This is Civic Media. Civic Media.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. Tornadoes tearing through the South, leaving at least 25 people dead in Mississippi. Vicksburg Mayor George Flagg says he's spoken with the mayor of nearby Rolling Forks, an area said to be leveled.
He did not have a good assessment at the time, and we stand ready.
Mississippi declaring a state of emergency, President Biden offering federal assistance. At least two people dead, but a survivor found in the rubble overnight in West Reading, Pennsylvania, after an explosion at the Palmer Chocolate Factory. West Reading Borough Mayor Samantha Kaye.
There are five still missing, and we did find one person alive last night in the wee hours of the morning.
Former President Trump holding his first rally of his 2024 presidential campaign in Waco, Texas, on the 30th anniversary of the Branch Davidian face-off with the government that left dozens dead. No connection, says this Trump supporter.
More of a central part of Texas, easier for people to get to, people from all over. So I think it's just a central location.
This is ABC News.
Great to listen to while having a Lineys and grilling some Sheboygan brats. The Cripes Cast with me, Charlie Behrens, on Civic Media. And don't forget the Civic Media app.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what you need to know. Southeast Wisconsin could be in for a lot of wet and heavy snow tomorrow. Forecasters predict 5 to 8 inches of snow from Janesville, east to Kenosha, and north to Manitowoc. Madison and the Fox Valley should get 1 to 5 inches. It's supposed to come down fast enough to make roads slippery for a time, but it's warm enough that the snow won't stay on the ground for long. Majority Republicans on the Wisconsin State Building Commission are rejecting every recommendation in Governor Evers' capital budget request. Evers' capital budget request is the largest in at least a decade, coming in at almost $4 billion. Republicans are expected to approve a shorter list of building requests later this year. That's what they've been doing in the recent past. In sports, the Bucks are at Utah tonight. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
Kids, they're just different than us. They have no inhibitions, consider silverware optional, and can find fun anywhere. And when kids get really sick, they're different than us too. Until now, children diagnosed with blood cancer have been treated like many adults. Not anymore. The Leukemia and Lymphoma Society proudly introduces the Dare to Dream Project, transforming treatment and care through advocacy, education, and the largest global clinical trial for kids with blood cancer. For the first time, a specific treatment can be matched to a specific type of cancer in a specific child. It'll be the biggest medical advancement for little patients in history. Dare to dream with us. Support the Dare to Dream Project and all the work that the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society does at lls.org.
Talking to your kids about the dangers of vaping can be hard. Getting them to listen to hot gossip is easy. So here's some drama you could share with your kid. Dude, did you hear about Cassie and Jake? No, but did you hear that vaping can cause irreversible lung damage and nicotine affects brain development? Nuh-uh. You don't need to gossip if you want to have an open conversation about vaping. So if you want to get tips on when and how to talk to your kids, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Welcome back to Dueling Tangents. I'm Luke Mathers. We're talking about Jokers and Thieves here. Not really. It's just Brian. He's here on a Thursday afternoon joining us. And you're listening to Dueling Tangents across Civic Media. Download the Civic Media app from your Apple or Google Play stores, and you can take us with you on the go. And we are now fortunately joined in the Solidarity Realty Studios by State Representative Clinton Anderson of the 45th Assembly District here in Wisconsin. Clinton, how are we doing this Thursday afternoon?
Good. It was great to be back here.
Yeah, really, really grateful that you are able to take some time out of your day to join us here on the air. And you represent the Beloit area, for those not familiar, and new legislator, elected last November for your first term.
Yep.
Representing the great people of Beloit and the surrounding area in the 45th Assembly District. And you have signed on to a piece of legislation that would update, in my opinion, pretty outdated
provision in Wisconsin open records law that would actually make Wisconsin legislators like yourself beholden to open records, which in the 1960s they kind of cut themselves out of. So what can you tell us about the proposal and what it would mean to update that provision with Wisconsin open records law?
So I think I want to start with, first off, thank you.
Yeah, absolutely.
But for those that might not know, the open records policy at the Capitol is grossly outdated, and it's also incredibly weak. When I've talked to people about this, I said basically the record is a record as long as I have the record. So if anyone who's listening or any one of you wants to send me an email, I can tell my staff, delete that email, and there is no repercussion whatsoever, which was actually one of the first things that really blew my mind in the building was like, I don't have to retain records. I'm a city council member wrapping up my final term, and I have to retain records for 7 years.
Wow.
So, I mean, if you think about it, I have to hold on to some record as a city council member till the year 2030.
Wow.
Which,
and you showed up for orientation, and they were like, you don't have to keep any of these.
They explained the record policy. They're like, well, if you have the record, you have to give it back. And I was like, that is crazy. I was like,
so if you don't have it, you can't give it back.
Which is just such a weird concept. And, you know, one of my pitches to people is that we see a lot of our Republican colleagues trying to push these quote unquote transparency bills.
Okay.
Whether it's for school districts or health departments or, you know, every aspect of government but ourselves. This is a great opportunity for us to say we're going to hold ourselves accountable first.
Yeah.
Because a lot of our folks, I didn't get through all the legislature, but we have quite a few people who either are currently or were formerly local elected officials who had to have this policy anyways. So why is it so difficult for us to do that now?
Yeah. And it seems Wisconsin has a history of being the center of the political universe, birthplace of the progressive movement, also birthplace of the Republican Party. Mm-hmm. So Wisconsin, kind of the center of a lot of different aspects to politics. And open good government and governance was really Wisconsin was a model in that regard. And we had great things like the Government Accountability Board. Fortunately, that's been done away with. But in this model, it's very strange to me that the state of fighting Bob La Follette, who was so progressive and a steward of good governance, that something like this passed back in the 1960s, and albeit it's not La Follette's era, but it's strange to me that this was something that's been on the books for 60 years and we haven't gotten around to updating it yet to make sure that our public officials are held accountable for open records.
Well, and I think it's just crazy because I tell everyone, I'm like, you're a part-time elected official who has a day job and or maybe retired, but does this very much on a part-time basis, is held to a higher standard than someone who is paid a full-time salary to do this job, which I think we'd all agree is a little crazy.
Yeah.
So I've held a lot of jobs in my day. I'm an actor and I pick up a lot of different jobs. I've had a lot of different orientations and a lot of different trainings and a lot of different things. And one of my red flags, usually when I'm in a situation that maybe not the best situation for a long-term commitment or something, or maybe something might be a little screwy with the management, is when one of the employees on my first day or first week says, this is not really the way that we're supposed to be doing it, but let me tell you, this is how we're doing it now. Or does things like, hey, you know, you can, if you don't have the record, we really can't make you have the record, if you know what I mean. Like, yeah. This isn't even common sense, and I don't understand how did this come to be? How did they decide, you know what? We got to get rid of this ability to have open records. Like, how do we have to reverse this in the first place? How did this even come to being?
Well, I mean, it predates me by many years, but I think it's just really important that we rectify it. You know, sometimes I come from a social work background, so I tell people it's not, you know, when we fix it, it's if we do. And right now we can fix it and we do the right thing. So I'm not going to judge whoever decided to pass on this before. I'm not going to judge people who put that in the, you know, put the policy in the first place, but can we fix it now? We've got 24 first term legislators in the assembly, and I'm really optimistic that maybe we can get some of them to buy in because a lot of them have local backgrounds too. And I think we're seeing it with fresh eyes. You know, we're not consumed by the building. Not to say that, you know, even our colleagues on both sides aren't, but we're coming with a new perspective, and I think this is a good opportunity for us to hit the reset button and say, well, what's broken? And I think we can all agree, regardless of party, that this is broken.
Yeah, it seems, and there was a lot of turnover in the legislature this last fall. There were a lot of retirements. There were a lot of members of the state assembly that sought higher office, whether it be in the state senate, or there were some that ran for statewide offices or local county executive and county level positions. So there was a lot of turnover. Yeah. 24 new state lawmakers is a pretty tremendous amount, and I believe this sounds as good a time as any to be able to hit that reset button. Mm-hmm. What are your beliefs of where this goes next then? Because this is a proposal that was introduced last week, and here in Wisconsin, it seems like there's a lot kind of on hold until Tuesday, April 4th, which is a spring statewide election. Is there a chance that this is going to get a public hearing between now and then, or is this going to be just set to the legislative calendar? Where does this proposal go next, Representative Anderson?
Well, right now it's actually in the governor's budget. So we'll see if we're joint finance to take it, because that's the next step. But it's also trying to talk to some of my new Republican colleagues and seeing if any of them have any interest in. I won't name names, but I do have one that has talked to me about potentially being interested in it, and I'm really hopeful that they will take me up on that.
So you are getting traction on this. Like, this is actually like getting traction in, with other lawmakers besides, you know, reasonable minded ones.
Well, I won't decide if they're reasonable or unreasonable.
Don't put them on the spot like that, Brian.
Yeah, I will say for the record, even though I disagree with a lot of my first term Republican colleagues, we've actually been doing a lot of bipartisan get-togethers, and I think it's good to cultivate that relationship with them.
I like that.
That sounds fantastic.
Yeah, we've actually for a little bit of backstory, we can go, since we're on a show called Dueling Tangents. I will take a tangent.
Please do this. This is great.
By all means.
I actually share part of Blay with a Republican freshman representative too, and I went up to her office and said, you know, we should just mix together. We have so many new faces. We're all new. We're all having this new experience. We should get together. We did that before the State of the State address, and actually two freshman Democrat and Republican took it the next month, and actually on Pi Day we had another one. So we've actually had this happen three times, and it sounds like we're going to have it happen a fourth time, so I'm excited to see that we're actually having some mingling across the aisle. And you wouldn't expect a lot of Democrats or Republicans to mix. I think we all envision it like a middle school dance where one side's on one side and the other is on the other. But you'll see us when we'll come in. We'll just say, hey, you know, Representative, how is it going? We actually have friendly relationships. And not saying that people that have been there for a long time don't do that, but I think it's really good that we're making a solid effort to do that. So
yeah, well, I think stories from inside the building for a really long time over the last decade have been there's political trenches. And everybody kind of just sticks to theirs. And so that's, I believe, having comedy, as in being able to work together, even though you don't agree on everything, has been drastically lacking from politics, both here in Wisconsin and at a national level. So call me skeptical, but when Evers and some of the leaders of the Republican-led legislature said they wanted to hit a reset button for here in 2023... I was skeptical, but we've seen stories like at the Christmas party that the governor's put on at the governor's residence, the governor's mansion. There was bipartisan mingling there from these stories as well. Yeah. So it sounds like there is some comedy returning to politics here in Wisconsin.
I got to tell you, that seems more fun to join in on. If you're someone looking at outside looking in, it's way more fun to join in on the people that are getting along and enjoying themselves than the ones who are like, you're evil and I hope you die.
Well, and we've, after yesterday's floor session, we had a couple party line votes. But, you know, even after, I think we can kind of say, okay, we're out of the session now. We can talk. And for the longest time, that was not a thing. You would basically just put on the partisan blinders no matter what. Don't get me wrong. I'm a progressive Democrat. I won't change my beliefs because I talk to Republicans, but I think it's good that we have those conversations. We are actually trying to show them the argument why we support things. So I think we're really heading in the right direction, and I hope it continues.
Fantastic.
Yeah, when they look at you like a person and see you as, oh, that's my friend Clinton. And when they think about what bill am I trying to push forward and why am I pushing forward and who's pushing against me, they think of you as a person and not the conglomerate left evil. You know what I mean? Like that's important, and that moves people in a huge way on small incremental levels, and I'm really, really excited to hear about that. That's great.
I mean, when I go in, and usually I joke that it's always been on like days that it's going to be divisive by the end of the day, like state-to-state budget address and then a floor session. Like those are days that we're going to end with like partisan talk, but we start the day off and we're having this good bipartisan get together. And I remember, like, I think it was the second one where we had people saying, what are you working on? What areas do you like? And they're kind of like just partnering up, and it's really weird even to see legislators kind of match make when they say who's hosting next month. And I'm like, you two don't seem like you would fit at all. Like, someone who's very progressive or someone who's super conservative saying, you know, I know the bar is really low, but I'm at least like, okay, they can at least agree that they want to have pie on pie day. Like, that is a small win. I will take it, because it's right now it's baby steps. I mean, we haven't really recovered that bipartisan nature since Act 10. And I think this is the final start of a rebuild on getting that back to, we can disagree without being disagreeable.
Folks, you're listening
like
to
EDM.
Yeah.
Yes.
That would be a very interesting get together, and I would love to be a fly on the wall for that one. Folks, you're listening to Dueling Tangents. I'm Luke Mathers. He's Brian Kelly. We are joined in the Solidarity Realty Studios by State Representative Clinton Anderson, representing the 45th Assembly District near Beloit. And it is great to hear that this is a bipartisan reset of some regard that is happening with the new lawmakers at the state legislature. What kind of pie did you guys have on pie day? I'm just curious now. Speaking of tangents.
I won't name names, but one legislator really loved pumpkin pie and was kind of gatekeeping. But we had like,
wow.
I didn't have pie. I was just sitting having coffee and just chatting with people. But yeah, there's a good array of them. It was definitely a lot of fun. It's good to have some bipartisan poking fun of each other and know it's not personal. So that was a lot of fun.
Yeah, because at the end of the day, it takes those relationships of quote unquote matchmaking that can get to where legislators can see themselves as individuals, as people, and can find areas to work together. Because it might not end right, you might not right off the bat think that it's going to end in updating the state's open records laws, but it's relationship building like that that can get to a bipartisan compromise and advance proposals that would just be good governance.
Yeah.
So this is terrific to hear. I'm thrilled.
I got a question about the bill.
Let's do it.
Real quick. I want to know, is there a way that is streamlining a way to record anything that you need? Meaning that if you have a phone call, is there like an app you put on and I have my phone call through the app and it just automatically archives, or I'm doing inter office communication or things like that? Is there a system to just automatically archive that to make it easier for people, you know, because a lot of people may be averted to just doing paperwork in general or holding on to it. Is there a way to streamline it? Is that part of the situation?
It's pretty much the same as the local level. Like, we don't record our phone calls when we have chats, but record of who made the call and when. So very much the same as what we have at the local level.
Okay. And then emails as well. Yeah, but yes, emails are very archivable and easy to access. You got time to stick around for a second segment?
Oh, yeah. I'd love to.
Fantastic. We are joined by State Representative Clinton Anderson. You're listening to Dueling Tangents across civic media. Going to continue the conversation with the state representative. But stick around for this break. We're going to have maybe a little baseball talk coming up as well, because the big guy wants to talk baseball.
Dear hero, whoever you are, you save lives. I live with sickle cell and the pain and the issues that come along with sickle cell every day. I've had lots and lots of blood transfusions over my lifetime, probably in the hundreds. Blood helps me to be able to live.
My final tour was in Afghanistan in 2008. I was hit June 3rd. The next thing I remember, I woke up in Germany. Doctor came in and said, we're going to amputate your leg. I had to get a lot of blood transfusion to stay alive.
Because of you, I'm allowed to see my son grow up.
Because of you, I got a second chance at life.
Giving equals living. Give blood. Replenish the supply. Make an appointment to give today by visiting hhs.gov/giveblood. This message is brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Know him as the nose tackle for the green and gold,
1993 to 1999, and again 2001 to 2003.
125 games, 292 tackles, 7 sacks, and a Super Bowl ring. But there's more to life than stats, and there's more to life than football.
You're about to find out.
Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, featuring Packers legend Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram.
Saturday and Sunday at 1 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
Here's your updated forecast. Lows level off around 21 tonight under partly cloudy skies. Westerly winds 8 to 15 miles an hour. Partly cloudy tomorrow. Daytime highs approaching 39. Overcast skies tomorrow night. Lows around 27. Upper 30s Monday. Low 40s Tuesday. Another look at the short range. Lows level off around 21 tonight. A high of 39 tomorrow. We should dip down to around 27 tomorrow night. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Ray Miller. Right now, it's 36.
This is Civic Media for the Fox Valley.
UKRadio.com.
Welcome back to Dueling Tangents. I'm Luke Mathers. And real quick, we get to say adieu to the big guy before he flies away. Because Mr. Brian Kelly going to be on vacation for the next couple days. Well-earned vacation coming up. And you're going to be flying away, my friend.
Yeah, it's going to be fantastic. I'm going to go see some old friends, maybe see some things. Maybe go see the mouse, maybe go see Harry Potter. It'll be fun. Either way, my brain's going to turn off for a week. And we're in a position that I can actually do that and not feel like the whole world's going to fall apart, and it's great.
There you go.
I'm excited.
There, no Chicken Little. The sky is falling. But folks, you are listening to Dueling Tangents. I'm Luke Mathers. He's Brian Kelly, and we are joined in the Solidarity Realty Studios here in Madison for Mad Radio 92.7 FM, WMDX 1580 AM, and around the state on Civic Media by State Representative Clinton Anderson. And one of the things, Brian, that will be on your mind, though, while you are unplugging, is baseball. And something that's getting started. We've got the final days of spring training. The regular season for baseball is coming up. But we know a thing or two about rebrands here with our signals, with the acquisitions that Civic Media is making around the state. But I just learned that Beloit had a rebranding for their baseball team, no longer the Beloit Snappers.
Yeah, it happened a couple years ago. I grew up with the Snappers. I know they're the Blake Brewers before that.
Really?
Yeah. Ah. Yeah, the Snappers, I grew up with that. I remember the days with Prince Fielder there when he played in Beloit.
Wow, yeah. I did not know the Fielder had a stop.
Yeah, there's several well-known MLB players that, or at least, MLB players of the past that stopped through Beloit. But yeah, it's they got a new ballpark. They're now the Skycarp, which I will try to explain what that is. Everybody's like, what is that? It's basically, as we're told, it is a goose who does not want to leave because they love the place they live so much. So basically it's trying to like do this, like, you love Beloit so much, so you could go anywhere, but you decide you're going to stay here. So it's this
nice,
very long way of trying to say how wholesome we are about Beloit, but it's, it takes me way too long to explain it. That we also have a big gigantic goose mascot now, named Poopsie. That was
That is a terrific mascot's name.
I will make sure that everybody in Beloit knows that. It was quite the controversy when Snappy was retiring. I forgot how passionate people get about sports teams when they said Snappy was retired. Everybody was like, this is ridiculous. We love Snappy. And then they introduced the Skycarp, and it took a while. It grew on me, too. I was like, Poopsie's a weird name, but I'm glad we have a baseball team in Beloit.
My goodness, if you ever have a chance, go see this team. Go see a minor league game. Go see minor league baseball. It is so much fun. I've never not had fun. Funny enough, I grew up, I know it may be hard to believe, this giant yeti of a man. I was young enough to be carried on my dad's shoulders at one point. And when I was small enough at that point, he walked me down the street. I lived in Rochester, New York, and we went to the Rochester Red Wings game. They were an affiliate of the Orioles at the time, and I got to see Billy Ripken play. You know, at the time, I was like, yeah, great. Who the heck's Billy Ripken? I'm, 2 seconds old because I'm like 3 seconds old. I was too heavy to be carried now. But either way, point is baseball is back. It's better than ever, and your local sports affiliate is probably just as fun and as affordable for the entire family as one ticket to a Brewers game.
Yeah, I mean,
promise you that. Yeah.
Local sports, and again, building off of the conversation from the last segment, it is an area that here in Wisconsin and around the nation, we can build that comedy and the bipartisan nature that it seems is being fostered in the Wisconsin legislature. I feel like headed down there to the Beloit Skycarp game would be an excellent way to do it as well.
It's a lot of fun, and they have a lot of theme nights. I know they've done a Star Wars theme, they did a Marvel theme, they do special jerseys. It all the fun of baseball at the minor league level is incredibly enjoyable, especially if you're maybe not a diehard where you follow baseball in every transaction. If you just want a great time and have a good, you know, good experience, it's nothing like walking around a ballpark.
Nice. And
Clinton, I picture you with a Republican lawmaker sitting next to you. Each of you holding a dozen eggs and having like a coxcomb on your forehead, talking about, you know, bipartisan legislation you want to have there. Then one of you catches a foul ball. That's what I'm picturing in the script I'm writing here. Yeah, this is what I'm seeing.
I appreciate the imagery. I will remember that next time I talk to one of my Republican colleagues.
Yeah, although it'll probably be fish themed because it is a Marlins affiliate. So
yes.
There you go. I didn't even know the affiliation there either. I'm completely unaware of the minor league baseball landscape of things. So that's...
You never know when Derek Jeter is going to come down and see the people on the farm.
There you go. Yeah. Interesting. Yeah. You'll have to keep an eye out in Beloit.
Yeah.
Trying to get the ladies out of the game? Derek Jeter may be there.
Yeah, you never know. We won't tell you.
Brian Kelly might be there.
I might go. Derek Jeter is a very handsome man.
Folks, you are listening to Dueling Tangents. And so we've got a lot coming up. We're sitting waiting for a lot to be worked on here in Wisconsin. What else is your office as a new legislator, working on in this new session? I know the budget is going to be really big this summer. What's kind of on your plate for getting used to the building and what you're trying to do to deliver for the folks in Beloit?
Well, right now we're just doing budget listening sessions. I'm joining my predecessor, Senator Mark Spreitzer. We're doing a listening session tonight in Broadhead. So we've been just trying to...
Shame on you!
I know. How dare I? You know, if joint finance won't come south of Waukesha and the Dells, somebody has to.
There we go.
We're talking to the folks about the budget, asking their opinions, and just kind of highlighting things that we hope will stay in the budget regardless. Yeah, a lot of people said that they don't care who gets credit for it. They just want them done. They want to see more education funding. They want to see shared revenue solved. So we're trying to highlight those things so that they can advocate to the Joint Finance Committee as well.
That is a great, fresh approach. Doesn't matter who gets credit. Let's just deliver. And so that is very refreshing to hear. If folks want to learn more about that listening session in Broadhead, is there somewhere they can go to find out more?
They can just go to my legislative website. I also post on social media. My 19-year-old intern just convinced me to get on Instagram. So
there we go.
I'm now doing that. But I'm also on Twitter. Feel free to look me up. We do a segment every Sunday with my dog, Sully, where he goes to small businesses. So if you want to go see what's going on the 45th, every Sunday we'll have an update.
And what is the social media handles?
It's Rep Anderson 45.
There we go. All right. Representative Clinton Anderson, really appreciate you joining us here on Dueling Tangents this Thursday afternoon. Brian is going to be off in a faraway land, folks, so you're going to be stuck with me, Luke Mathers, here on Dueling Tangents. But tomorrow, the very kind Todd Alba has agreed to join me, so it's going to be the Todd
really
and Luke.
I really like that dude.
Yeah, he's fantastic. Host of the Todd Alba Show from 8 to 11 a.m. on several different civic media radio stations. He's going to be joining me for the show tomorrow, Friday afternoon. We'll be back at 2 p.m. If you missed any portion of this show, go check out the podcast. Head over to the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us. Click on Dueling Tangents, and you can check out all the past shows there. State Representative Anderson, thank you so much for joining us. Brian, travel safe, my friend. We'll see you all tomorrow at 2. Talk to you then.
Thank you.
This is an urgent...
VA has a new life insurance program for veterans with service-connected disabilities called Veterans Affairs Life Insurance, or VA Life. VA Life benefits include up to $40,000 in coverage, no medical questions to enroll, and no time limit to apply if you are age 80 or under. Veterans can apply, receive an instant decision, and manage their policy online. Learn more about VA Life or apply online by visiting va.gov/life-insurance. Protect those who matter most with VA Life Insurance.
You were supposed to get a colon cancer screening, but stuff came up.
We did have to pick up the twins from practice.
But on the way, we hit a giant pothole. Over on-
if you are 45 and older, don't let stuff get in the way of your screening. Visit the Colorectal Cancer Alliance at ccalliance.org.
But then...
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay. WGBW 1590 AM Denmark. W250 CV Green Bay. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.